What's up, Monster Kids? You staying up way too late watching Bela Lugosi and Vincent Price on TV? Well, I've got the podcast for you. Cobwebs, a gothic cinema podcast in which I, Daniel Epler, and a rotating panel of guests dive into the history of the gothic horror genre and its influence on cinema today.
Now, before the party begins, let's go over the details.
I'm talking Hammer Horror, Universal Monsters, Edgar Allan Poe, and even the modern stuff that draws inspiration from those.
There are dark corners. Horror's almost impossible to imagine.
So if you've always felt you'd be a little more at home in a Transylvanian castle with the vampires in the crypt, then head to cobwebspodcast.com or check us out on major podcasting platforms. Cobwebs, a gothic cinema podcast guaranteed to give you the spooks.
And welcome to a special mini episode of Dead Ringers. I'm Emily Von Zela, and I was recently able to sit down with writer, director, and actor Toby Poser at Fantastic Fest about her film, The Deeper You Dig. It's a micro-budget horror film. It explores a lot of themes of loss and isolation and connection, and it's a film that she co-wrote and co-directed with her husband, John Adams, and her daughter, Zelda Adams, both of whom star in the film. And we were able to talk about filmmaking on a tiny budget and what kind of limitations that adds to your shoot, but also the amazing creative opportunities that it allows in filmmaking, especially when you're making a genre film. The Deeper You Dig played at Fantastic Fest and got a great reception. People were really enjoying it, and it's a film that I personally really got into. It's going to be doing a number of festivals over the next couple of months, so if you have the opportunity to check it out, I highly recommend it. And thanks again to Toby Poser for sitting down with me and having this conversation. I hope you all enjoy it.
So the film is so great, and part of what I love about it is just the fact that it is such a personal experience for all of you making it together as a family. And I was hoping that you could talk just a little bit about what your dynamic is working together and what the creative process is when, you know each other so well, and how does that translate into an artistic endeavor?
Sure. Yeah, well, we've been doing this since our kids were 6 and 11. And so this is our fifth feature. So by now we've kind of hit a stride. That's good. What we've always done is discuss stories together, and then John and I would usually write something out, which would be loose. You know, we'd base something loose upon that, and then just see where it went when we were actually shooting. But now it is a definite collaboration. Three of us are older girls in college. So what we do is we talk when we're in the car. We live in the middle of nowhere, so that's kind of our office, the car. And we drive to, Zella's a soccer player, so we drive very far for that. And we have these meetings, and we text, even here at the festival, we're texting each other ideas for our new one. So it's a total collaboration now where we discuss what are we going to do, what's the story we want to tell. And then when we're shooting, we often just go with what's outside our door. We use what we have. We live in the middle of the mountains, and it's really cinematically just the best every season. So if it's a blizzard, we get out there and we shoot. We write it in. We know there are going to be blizzards. We live on a river. We'll fit that in. But often it's circumstantial. If there's something really cool, if we see roadkill on the side of the road, we'll write a scene around that. And then when we're actually shooting, whoever's not acting is running the camera. Mm-hmm. And John and Zelda are the DPs on this one, and they really have a great eye, but we all get behind the camera. And in front, when we're not in front of it. And then we edit usually that night. So we know, oh, did we get it? No. Usually we don't the first time. So it's sort of a rehearsal. And then we have the luxury of just going out and doing it again.
That's awesome. And it really sounds like it allows you a lot of collaborative freedom because you're not tied to a storyboard or what's on the page. And you're able to just, fit inspiration in as it comes up.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, we rarely stick to what we've written because usually in the moment we think of something better.
That's cool. So how did the story for the Debut Dig develop? Where did the idea come from?
John and Zelda had a sort of practice run doing something called The Hatred a couple years ago. Shot in the winter. It was a ghost story that took place during the Civil War era. About an hour long piece, and it looked so cool, and it was kind of a great practice run. And then they had an idea of, without giving anything away, they want to tell a cool possession story that we hadn't seen quite before. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped on with that one, and that's just how it started.
That's so cool. So with this one, you were also able to incorporate the house that Kurt lived in as part of the shooting, and it was something that you were actually renovating at the time.
Yeah, John is still renovating. I mean, if you could see that house now, the transformation's pretty amazing. And we knew that we would have that. We're shooting over a year, and we knew that the house would be its own character and be a metaphor for the transformation that's happening to his character. You know, as walls were coming up, it was like skin, you know, new skin, different, more feminine vibe than this stark, skeletal beginnings. Again, we just use what we have, and that was a gift that just fell into our laps.
That's amazing. And you actually chucked a bathtub out of it.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And I was so happy that we got that. I was shooting that day, and I was like, oh, my God, if I don't get this, and we got it.
That was amazing. Thanks. Yeah, and my husband and I have been doing small projects to our house, so when we got to that, I'm like, wow. yeah, and just talking, I don't want to get into spoiler territory since the film's not out yet, but the themes that are at play in this story and themes of love and whether or not there are boundaries to that and, you know, the loneliness that kind of comes over the characters after the mother and daughter are separated. It's so beautiful and so human, and that's kind of what drew me to the film. You know, horror runs, you know, kind of the gamut, but there's kind of a particular draw I have for horror stories that root themselves in human emotion and things that we can all readily connect with. So how did you develop those themes within the story, and what role did they play as you were making it?
Well, thanks, and that's what we're going for, too. Well, there's a lot going on, actually, and where we live is very isolated, mm-hmm. and we didn't always live there. My kids grew up in New York City and Los Angeles, so mm-hmm. the move there a couple years ago, I think, was a little shocking. I mean, we love it, but especially for Zelda, who's now 15, but really grew up in New York City and Los Angeles. So I think there's something isolational that just naturally comes with being there. But then, and then also, right after we began shooting, loosely knowing what we wanted to do, I was diagnosed with a reproductive cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. But it actually helped the story because it's something I guess I would only know, but as one of the writers, it helped inform my contribution to the story because the whole mother-daughter loss, you know, mm-hmm. viability as a reproductive woman and then losing a daughter. I mean, it was just, again, a strange gift. I wouldn't want it for anyone, but it actually helped our writing. And just for me personally, it guided some of those themes of loss and having to find a way to move on with a new identity. Mm-hmm. And there are definitely some new identities popping up in the film. So
yeah. And as the film progresses, there become a lot of kind of dreamlike sequences, abstract moments where it looked like you guys really had to get creative with how you were going to communicate some of that supernatural aesthetic. How did you, since you're running on a low budget and you're tied to the creativity that you have in front of you, how do you come up with those ideas and decide, okay, this is going to work and this isn't?
Yeah, well, for the first time ever, we worked with a special effects guy who is amazing, Trey Lindsay, and he's literally the only other person in our three-person crew. He's our fourth, you know, and we just embraced him entirely. And he offered so much to us for free, which is unbelievable. And so we couldn't have done any of the really cool stuff that we've never done special effects before. So he came on and was just invaluable. But then otherwise, again, we had no special equipment. We don't have any lights. We have one or two cameras we use. We just, it's often, you don't have to do a lot to get what you, I mean, aside from the stuff that he did, which definitely, you know, the CGI, we can never have done that. But we just, often Mother Nature's really creepy, you know?
Yeah.
Ice, water trickling down, you know, a veil of ice is really creepy. Snow is cold and harrowing and hard to shoot in. So really, just simplicity of what we had plus the brilliance of Trey. We just tried to make everything work. And then we did do, like, John did my clown makeup and Trey did all the bloody makeup and eye stuff. It was, we just used what we had.
That's so awesome. Yeah, the clown makeup was super
cool. That was fun.
So, given the fact that your family has been doing this for so long and it's kind of been incorporated into your dynamic, on their own, are your daughters interested in filmmaking? Or is it something that's kind of more tied to your family dynamic?
I think for Lulu, who's now 21 and a senior in college, and she was involved with our four previous features, she's going into psychology and French.
Oh,
but
cool.
She loves film, and she was just here at Fantastic Fest and is very still a great part of our process, but I think she's not going to go into film. But Zelda, who's 15, is really interested. I mean, she's just full force ahead, our total equal in our whole process, and I wouldn't be surprised if she takes it further. Actually, she is making her own videos now. She knows,
awesome.
She's learned how to edit, so she's doing her own music videos and writing short films. So she's been doing it since she was 6, and she is completely, you know, she's just got such an amazing creative dynamic, that kid. So I'm pretty sure, I don't want to assume, but I would think she might go in this direction.
That's really cool. She got kind of like a mini film school growing up, and she learned along the way. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think she's going to go to a film camp this summer, so it'll be interesting to see what she thinks with equipment that's more, you know, that's fancier than ours. Uh-huh. Whether she likes it or is like, you don't need that.
That's so cool. Well, and just given, you know, the limitations of your equipment and working with such a small crew, it looks really, really good. The film is gorgeous. And, you know, like you said, the setting incorporates such a characteristic that really lends itself well to the narrative. Like, it's winter, it's harsh, it's cold, it's lonely, and that really feeds into the vibe of the film. So getting to make that just in your backyard is just amazing.
Thanks. I mean, we actually love it. I was thinking on the way here this morning that, you know, it's easy to fall into the kitsch of, oh, a family that makes films, that's so cute. It is cute, but you know what? That's not enough. For us, we take it really seriously. We just happen to have limitations, but it has never confined us. And that's something I know that we'll keep trying to evolve, definitely. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily on a Hollywood level, but each film we do, we seem to go a little bit further artistically. But hopefully, I think what works for us is, because sometimes when you have limitations, it's a gift, because you have to just focus on the crux of the story. You can't get by on good lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a great CGI guy, but you just, it helps us focus on the story. And that's the most important thing. I think whether you have a huge budget or a little one, you just got to tell a cool story.
Yeah.
And one that is authentic.
Yeah, and being able to connect with these characters, I think, is a driving focus in what makes this film so successful. Like, you love Ivy and Echo, and You don't get to spend a whole lot of time with them early on, but you do get the sense that they have, you know, a really strong relationship and they rely on one another and you connect with that so quickly. And, just the mother-daughter dynamic is something that I really latched on to. So everything that you guys were able to bring to the film was just, it was beautiful.
Thanks. Well, one thing I think that is really cool is that the ratio of females to males in our film, you know, is female heavy. You know, I mean, we identify as females, and John loves to be surrounded by strong women. So it's something that is really cool, and he really embraces as well. And I kind of love that. I love that our kids have grown up knowing, hey, like when we go to a festival, and sometimes people assume the man directs the film, mm-hmm. and the woman, me, you know, just kind of produces. And like, and often it's Lulu who will say, "Excuse me," you know, she's very outspoken.
Yes,
three women here, and we all wrote and directed it, and starred in it. So snap out of it. So I'm really, I have to say, I'm a sinner in that sense. I'm proud of the dynamic of. You know, women, three women making these films, woman lover on board, and the themes that we carry. Like even with Echo, some shitty stuff happens to her, but I think in the end, there's good vengeance, mm-hmm. or a great acceptance, you know.
Yeah. And, sorry, remind me. With your other films, were they genre as well, or have you kind of worked all over the map?
No, just they were definitely dramas.
Cool.
But we are hooked. We're working on another genre film. We just are completely just, we're not letting go now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Did working in genre present any new challenges that you hadn't encountered working in dramas before?
I think it actually freed us tremendously.
Yeah?
So I think... No challenges. I mean, the challenge was to do better. Every film we have to go the next, step. But, I think it just freed us tremendously artistically. It's fun design wise. So, no, if anything, it cracked open our imagination.
That's so cool. So you've, been on the festival circuit with the Deep Redig. What's on tap for it next? Where's it going?
We're going to Sitges.
Cool.
In October, and at the same time, I'll be there in Spain for that. John and Zelda will be in Los Angeles with Scream Fest.
Awesome.
We're going to be at Stuff MX in Mexico City, Lausanne Underground in Switzerland. We were just at Cinema Brut in France. Oh, and Telluride Horror Show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's all over the map. That's so exciting.
Yeah, we are just beyond stoked.
Cool. And you mentioned that you're already kind of working on your next project now.
Yeah.
Are you gonna like dive into it?
Definitely.
Deeper after the festival's hit.
Oh yeah, we're already like with our little pinky toes in it. John just injured himself playing soccer while I was here this weekend.
Oh,
so
no.
he's laid up and he's just sending me every hour new ideas.
I can't do anything else, so I'm going to think about the movie.
He can bang nails right this week at least, or maybe for a month. I don't know. I haven't seen him.
Oh, God.
But, we're making another supernatural horror film. I can tell you the title. It's called The Devil's Daughter.
I am in just with that.
I learned out something pretty wild this summer. I'll just tell you real fast. My mom is actually in the film. She plays Mrs. Minsky, the old woman that I...
Oh, that's your mom?
Pulled. Yeah.
So cool.
It's really cool. And she was so great. And she actually passed away this summer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thanks. Yeah. How great is it to see her up on film, on the screen? It just blows my mind how beautiful that is. Anyway... She had a really quick dance with cancer, and right when the day we found out, she revealed to me that the dad I've known for 50 years is not my biological father, that I was a product of sperm donor. In the late 60s, you didn't talk about those things then. Yeah, pretty fucking crazy. But we thought, well, we gotta make a story.
this, you know, yeah, if it's nothing that big falls into your lap, explore it.
Exactly. I mean, sticking with our whole, let's use what we got. So, and I found out I have a number of siblings, half-siblings. And
wow.
So, The Devil's Daughter is kind of a jumping off. My whole paternity revelation is sort of a jumping off point for our new supernatural story.
Oh, wow.
But with more devilish tendencies.
Of course. Yeah, I'm hoping you're not actually discovering the satanic influences.
Yes, my dad was
on the screen. Brad.
Yeah, we there's a lot we can explore there.
So is there anything else that you wanted to add or that you wanted to make people aware of as far as, you know, the film or you guys, anything?
Just that we're just so grateful to be here and the viewers and this whole festival. It's just been a great gift. That's a sick of Tommy Mushy. It's just really, we're very, very grateful for the reception and we're having so much fun and I'm glad we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, me too, because yeah. I would love to see more from you guys.
Well, thanks, Emily.